God and the wisdom of God is beyond the searching of man's understanding. That His ways are above our ways as the heavens are above the earth. And the Bible says that God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But if I were to ask you to give me an account of an encounter with God that stands out from all of the rest, that most of us, no doubt, could not say that we have spoken with God face to face. That it was but few men that God revealed Himself and revealed His manifestation of glory. And though that man could not look upon God in the fullness of glory, because the Bible says that no man has seen God and lived, because our God is a consuming fire, but God came down and He revealed Himself and as a pillar of fire by night and as a pillar of cloud by day. He spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, and we think about things and we think that I've never had an experience quite like that. I've never had something that was so phenomenal. Amen. That I marked it down on the calendar, or that I can remember the details of that encounter. But one day, friend, one day, man, woman, boy, or girl, if you're faithful unto God, the Bible says that we're going to see Jesus Christ in all of His glory. We're going to see Him just the way He is. One day, I'm going to look upon the face of God. I'm going to step into the throne room of heaven, and I'm going to experience something that I've never experienced before. Oh, hallelujah. To desire a close encounter with God is something that I believe is commendable. It's something that is desirable. But it's something that very few men or women can actually say that they've ever experienced something, amen, such that they have heard an audible voice. Amen, such as the Apostle Paul, when the Bible says they were struck down by a bright light. Not everyone has a conversion experience like Paul. Not everyone can say they've had a Damascus Road experience. Amen. But Paul was one that was chosen of God, amen, to be a witness of His resurrection as one that was born out of due season. Amen. The Bible says that he saw a light that shined down from heaven, and so great was the brightness of that light that Paul fell down to the ground as a blind man, and he cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord replied to him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Don't you know it's hard for you to kick against the pricks? And Saul said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I want you to know that one day that you're going to see God and all of His full orb deity. And when you see God, you're going to look upon the face of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You're going to see Jesus in His power and His majesty on high. Hallelujah, few men have had opportunity to witness that glory. Amen. Paul was struck down by that bright light. And had it not been for Ananias laying hands upon him and restoring his sight, he might have been blind for the rest of his days. But God restored his sight. Amen. Because of the brightness of that light. And he heard an audible voice. Amen. From heaven. Amen. That confirmed to him that the true and living God, amen, was Jesus the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. Can you say praise the Lord? Peter and John were privileged to go with Jesus up on the mountain of transfiguration. And they beheld, amen, they beheld Jesus in all of his glory. Amen, he was transfigured before them. Amen, and the disciples of the Lord were astonished when they saw Jesus, for he shone like the brightness of the firmament. And with him appeared two of the prophets of God. The Bible says they saw Moses and they saw Elijah. Now, I don't know how they identified them, because no doubt neither one or none of the three of the disciples had ever seen Moses, nor had they seen Elijah. But it was confirmed to them that those that were standing with the Lord up on the mountain of transfiguration were Moses and Elijah. They had an encounter with the divine. Amen. They had an experience that was beyond their imagination. And I want you to know that you do not have to be super spiritual. That you do not have to be a Moses. That you do not have to be a Paul. You do not have to be in the inner circle in order to behold the majesty of my God. Because my Bible says that one day every eye is going to see him. And every eye is going to behold. For he's coming with power and great glory up on the clouds of heaven. He's going to reveal himself with the shout of the archangel and the trump of God. And the Bible says the dead and Christ are going to be raised up. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Oh, I have a desire one day that I'm going to see him in the fullness of his power. And I'm going to look upon the God that spake the worlds into existence. I've never seen him, but one day I shall behold him. One day I shall see the Lord high and lifted up. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that God is not far from any of us. You don't have to go on a long journey to find God. You don't have to take a flight, amen, across the ocean to find God. Amen. The fact the Bible says that he's not far from any of us. Oh, hallelujah. I said, God's not far from any of us. If you've ever experienced the Holy Ghost, amen, if you've ever been transformed by the Spirit of God, amen, you know, amen, that God is in the midst of his people. Hallelujah. You don't have to go very far, amen, to step into the presence of Almighty God. I'm going to talk to you about a man tonight by the name of Jacob. Amen. Jacob did not just have one personal encounter with God. He didn't just have two divine visitations of the divine. He didn't just have three opportunities, amen, to experience the presence of his divinity. Nor four times, nor just five times, nor even six, but seven times in Jacob's worthless life, God revealed himself in a mighty way. I want you to know tonight, you may feel like that you are, amen, more unworthy than anybody, amen, to experience the presence and the power of God. You don't have to be a Moses. And you don't have to be a Paul. You don't have to be a Peter, a James, or a John. amen, to step into the glory of his presence. Because I want to declare to you that even a scoundrel like Jacob can have a personal, amen, encounter with the divine presence of a holy God. Hallelujah, Jacob, amen, his name, amen, in Texas talk means a scoundrel. Amen, I don't know what it means in Hebrew. No, I really do. Jacob in the Hebrew language really means a heel grabber. But in Texas English, amen, Jacob just means he was a scoundrel. He was a scalawag. Amen. He was lower than a snake's belly. Amen. There wasn't anything righteous about this man called Jacob from the time that he was born. Amen. He was a heel grabber. He was a supplanter. Amen. He was willing to grab a hold of anything and claim it for his own, whether it belonged to him or not. The Bible says even at his birth that he reached up and grabbed the heel of his brother Esau. Amen. Because he, even, amen, in his birth, amen, was marked to be a supplanter. Amen. From the time of his beginning, amen, he was reaching and he was grasping for things, amen, that were really not his to have. Amen. Before it was all said and done, not only had he grabbed Esau's heel, amen, but he had grabbed his birthright. He had stolen his blessing. Amen. And while he fled from his brother Esau, because Esau was angry with him, and the Bible says that he went about to kill him, he was so disappointed in brother Jacob. Amen. That God, amen, amen, decided to pay, amen, brother Jacob a visit. I want you to know, even a runaway, even a scoundrel, amen, is important enough that God would leave his throne room in heaven and step down from the celestial and walk among men. Amen. That's why I know Jesus is that same mighty God, because he left the splendor of heaven. He robed himself in flesh, and that man that was a king, that was born to be a ruler, he became a servant of servants, and he walked among men for a scoundrel like you and me. Hallelujah. He decided to pay a visit to a scoundrel. The Bible tells us that Jacob was fleeing from his brother Esau when he found himself all alone, far from his home and the comforts of his father and his mother, 60 miles from Beersheba. He stopped at a place called Luz. And there in Luz, Jacob found a stone for a pillow, and he laid down to go to sleep. Now, I don't think that Jacob really thought that he was going to have a good night's sleep. He wasn't going to have a sort of comfort. Amen. He wasn't going to enjoy a perfect sleep that night. I don't know about you, but I need something a little better than a stone for a pillow. He was hard pressed, amen, for finding a place of rest. But when you're running, you can have a sort of comfort sleeper. Amen. And you still, amen, are not going to find a restful sleep. Amen. Because without God in your life, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be empty. You're going to be wretched. That's right. Hallelujah. Now, Duxiana is not going to help. No, not even. You can't even dial up a number Amen. If you're running for God and find, amen, the comfort zone that you're looking for. Jacob lay down upon that stone and he tried to sleep, but he tossed and he turned. And the Bible says that God came down in a vision and he visited Jacob. And while he slept, that Jacob had a vision of a staircase, amen, that stretched from the earth unto the heavens. And the angels of God were ascending and they were descending upon that ladder. And at the top of that ladder, the Bible says, was the very presence of God standing over him. Amen. And when he awoke, amen, from his sleep, he said, surely God was in this place and I knew it not. I want you to know, friend, that God's not far from any of us if we'll seek after him. Hallelujah. God came looking for Jacob. God came, amen, seeking out Jacob. Amen. And in that dream that he dreamed, he saw the presence of God. Hallelujah. He got a vision of what heaven was going to be about. And the Bible says that he took that stone which he had used for a pillow and he anointed it with oil. And he says, I'm going to call this place Bethel, which means the house of God. No more will it be called Luz, which means an almond tree. But the almond tree is become the place where God visits his people. I'm calling this place the house of God. And Jacob made a vow unto God. Jacob said to God, God, if you'll be with me, God, if you'll walk with me, if you'll go with me, if you'll provide shelter over my head and raiment for my clothing and food for my table, he said, I will surely return to this place and I will serve you. You'll be my God and I will surely give you a tenth of all of my increase, God. Amen. If you'll just never leave me or never forsake me. Amen. He made a promise to God. I want you to know when you make a promise to God, amen, you better be willing to keep it. Amen. He said, God, if you'll be with me, Lord, then I'm going to serve you. It was 20 years later before God appeared to Jacob again. Jacob had not before this time, do we read in the scriptures that Jacob had ever had an encounter with God. But 20 years later, God appeared to Jacob again in the land of Haran, 400 miles removed from where he had grown up as a child. I want you to know it doesn't matter where you are. You may be a long ways from home. You may have drifted a long ways. Amen. From what you have been taught. But even in the land of pagans, amen, that there is a God that's able to reach town and draw you into his presence. Amen. 20 years later and 400 miles removed from the house of God, the Bible said God appeared unto Jacob the second time. Hallelujah. 20 years and 400 miles. God reminded Jacob of the vow that he had made. God reminded Jacob of all that he had vowed to the Lord. He said, if I would watch over you and be your protector, and I would bring you back to the land of your fathers, that you would serve me. And God said, I've been watching you all this time, Jacob. You've been a double crosser. You have been untrue to your brother. Amen. You've caused division in your home. And I have seen, amen, what a heel grabber that you are. But I've also watched, amen, as the tables have turned. You sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. He went to his father-in-law Laban, and Laban deceived him. And when he thought that he was getting Rachel for a bride, he got Leah. The deceiver became deceived. 10 times Laban changed his wages. Amen. He was a scoundrel of scoundrels, but he met his match in his father-in-law. The deceiver got out maneuvered. He got out scandalized. Amen. God said, I have seen all of the evil that he has brought upon you. But he said, not one time, amen, has he ever got the better of you. He changed your wages. He lied to you. He deceived you. Amen. But haven't I kept my hand of protection upon you? Haven't I blessed you and everything that you've done? Amen. I've caused all of your flocks to be streaked and spotted cattle. Amen. I've increased your herds so that your herds are mightily increased. And Laban is jealous. Amen. Because I blessed you. Oh, hallelujah. Because the hand of God was upon Jacob. Hallelujah. Jacob discovered that he was not traveling alone. Amen. While he was fleeing, Jacob was fleeing from his father-in-law Laban. But he didn't just in haste, amen, take out on his own. This was a different Jacob than the Jacob that had left the land of Canaan. That presumptuous Jacob. That heel-grabbing Jacob, amen, would have just done whatever he thought that was right in his own eyes. Amen, but he had learned to be patient. 14 years he had labored for his father-in-law. And then, amen, God said, he said, it's time for you to go back to the land of your fathers. It's time for you to once again, amen, go back and claim the inheritance, amen, that is rightfully yours. And God appeared unto Jacob. But Jacob didn't run off, amen, until he got permission from God to go. He knew that God intended for him to go back. But he wasn't going back until the time was right. Amen. And so Jacob waited another 6 years for God to grant him permission to do what God had already told him, amen, that he was going to do. Sometimes you have to learn to wait on God. Amen. If you are going to have an encounter with the Almighty. Amen. 6 more years he waited. 14 plus the 6 makes 20 years. Amen. And the Lord revealed himself unto Jacob. Amen. In a place called Mahanaim. The Bible says that Jacob was returning to the land of Canaan. And he came upon another camp that was parallel to his camp. And he met some angels of the Lord. And he said, what are y'all doing here? And they said, this is the camp of the Lord. Amen. You see, God said, I want you to go, but when I go, I'm going to go with you. Amen. If you will be willing to wait on God. Amen. God will pave the way before you. You won't go in your own power. You won't go in your own strength. You won't go, amen, by your own will. But God said, when you go, I'm going with you. Amen. The Bible says the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him. Jacob, amen, honored God. And because Jacob honored God, God honored Jacob. Amen. There was two camps. In fact, the word Mahanaim in Hebrew means literally a double camp. Everywhere Jacob camped, God camped. Amen. Y'all didn't know God was a camper. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. Amen. When you go with God, when you go in the will of God, if you go when God wills you to go, you're not going to go alone, because God is going to go with you. God is going to go before you. God is going to fight your battles. God is going to be your strength and your deliverance. Amen. And so this was the third time that Jacob had encountered the divine presence. But God wasn't through yet. The Bible says that he came to the river Jabbok, and he heard that Esau was coming. Trouble was coming. He was going to have to face some things in his past that he had been running from. Amen. When you have some things in your past, amen, that are troubling to you, amen, you can't run away from them. You just have to seek an encounter with the divine. The Bible says that Jacob went across the river Jabbok, and he found himself all alone. And there on the other side of the river, he met a man, and he wrestled with that man, the Bible says, until the breaking of the day. And when Jacob could not prevail, the angel of the Lord reached forth his hand, and he touched Jacob in his hip, and his hip was thrown out of joint. The rest of his life that Jacob walked with a limp, but Jacob wouldn't let him go. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go, amen, until, amen, I have the anointing upon my life, amen. And the Bible says that Jacob wrestled until the breaking of the day. And the angel of the Lord said to Jacob, amen, he said, though your name is Jacob, a scoundrel, a supplanter, a heel grabber, no longer are you going to be called Jacob, but from this day forward, your name is going to be changed to Israel, which means a prince with God, because you have wrestled with God and man, and thou hast prevailed. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that Jacob called the place Peniel, because he said, I have seen the face of God, and yet I have lived. This man, to this point in his life, had four encounters with the Holy One of Israel. A man that was undeserving in many respects. A man that had done much harm to others, especially the members of his own family. But somehow there was something, amen, about Jacob, amen, that God was not going to let him go. But God just kept reaching, amen, because God was making some changes in Jacob that were going to alter the course of his life. Hallelujah. A short time after this encounter with the Lord, of course, he met his brother Esau, and they reconciled with one another and made peace. Amen. He was able to set aside a very troublesome thing in his past and get beyond it. But then there are things in our future that we don't anticipate. Amen. Life is full of struggles. It's not just yesterday that we have to be concerned about, but we need to be concerned about tomorrow. They came to a place called Shechem. Everything seemed to be going pretty good for Jacob. He had reconciled with his brother Esau. He had prevailed with the angel of the Lord. God had confirmed his covenant with him. He was back in the land of promise that God had promised to his fathers Abraham and Isaac. And everything seemed to be going pretty good. And tragedy came upon him. I want you to know that tragedy can come into anyone's life, and you don't have any control over that. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. But Jacob had a daughter by the name of Dinah. She must have been quite an attractive young lady. because one of the princes, a prince who was the prince of the city, in fact, the city was named after him, or he was named after the city, I don't know which, a young man by the name of Shechem, looked upon Dinah and he desired her. And he kidnapped her. And he forced her. And then he asked for a hand in marriage. And the brothers of Dinah were very angry with Shechem and with the men of that city because they had been so bold to ask for the hand of their sister after they had violated her. And so they sought to take matters into their own hand. Remember, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We better be careful when we try to take things into our own hands. But two of the sons of Jacob, Levi and Simeon, they were bloodthirsty. Nothing would satisfy them. They didn't just want to make things right. They wanted revenge. They went well beyond what was acceptable and right and just. And they took it upon themselves. They slew the men of the city of Shechem. And they captured the young women and the children and made slaves out of them, all because of the actions of one man. Some people go way beyond everything that's right, everything that's just, everything that's righteous. In their anger, they justified the evil of their hearts in that they were defending the honor of their sister. And Jacob said, what have you done? You have made my name to stink. Amen. God brought me here, amen, that I might be a blessing. God brought me here that I might claim my place. Amen, as the heir of the land. And you have brought reproach upon my name. And so that I'm going to be despised by all of the people of this land because of your treachery. And Jacob's heart was smitten. I want you to know sometimes even at a low time in your life. Amen, God. Amen, can come through in a miraculous and a mighty way. What God, amen, while Jacob was at Shechem, after that this horrible incident had taken place, the Bible says that God appeared to Jacob for a fifth time. You may think that God doesn't know about your circumstances. You may think that God hates you and despises you for the things that have befallen your lot in life. Amen. It was a horrible tragedy. Amen. That he could never have imagined his sons to have committed. His daughter had been defiled. Two of his sons had committed treachery that was beyond description. And his heart was heavy, while he was very sad, and he must have been questioning whether or not, amen, that God was still with him. What happened to the camp of the Lord? There are going to be times in your experience that you're going to wonder, where is God? Amen. God's not always going to come in a fire or an earthquake or a wind. Sometimes that God is going to come to you in a still, small voice. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God spoke to Jacob at Shechem. God said, Jacob, I want you to rise up. I want you to leave this place. And I want you to go back to Bethel. Amen. And there I want you to make an altar and offer sacrifices unto the name of the Lord. Hello. This is the fifth time, amen, that God has appeared unto Jacob. He said, it's time to return back to the original place. Amen. That I appeared to you. Amen. When you had that dream. When you saw that ladder that reached into heaven. Amen. Sometimes we need to go back and renew our faith again in the things of God. Amen. God had not changed his mind. God, amen, had not reversed course. The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God was not going to go back on his word. It doesn't matter what difficulties that you face. It doesn't matter what tragedies you go through. God said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. And he said, I'm the God of Jacob. I'm still your God. Now I want you to go back to Bethel. And there I want you to consecrate yourselves before the Lord. And the Bible says they consecrated themselves unto the Lord at Bethel. And God said, I want you to put away from you all of your idols, all of the foreign gods, and the earrings that are in your ears. I want you to take away the reproach of sin, and I want you to make yourselves holy in my presence. And the Bible says that they stripped themselves of their ornaments. They changed their raiment. I said they changed their raiment. And they put away their foreign gods. And they dug a hole and they buried them beneath a terebinth tree. And they made a consecration unto God. And God appeared unto Jacob at Bethel. Hallelujah. I said, God appeared unto Jacob again in Bethel. And after that they had made their consecration unto God, the Bible says that the terror of God came upon all of Israel's enemies. Jacob had been worried about the consequences of his family and what they had done. That they were going to be a reproach. That they were going to be an abomination. That they were going to be a stench in the nostrils of the people. But when they consecrated themselves unto God, I want you to know, amen, when you come to God in repentance, when you come to God and you're willing to put off the things of the world and the things of the flesh, amen, that contaminate and make you impure, amen, you're going to experience something, amen, in power and glory that you never experienced before. When they, amen, they ridded themselves of the foreign gods and of their jewelry. Amen, that was connected to the idolatry of the land. The Bible says the terror of God came upon all of their enemies and they dared not pursue after Jacob because they recognized that the presence of God was in their midst. I want you to know, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. If God goes before you, amen, that you cannot fail. Amen. God will be your victory. And so God appeared unto Jacob the sixth time. The sixth time God appeared unto Jacob at Bethel. In the place where he had appeared to him at the very first. Many years had passed. There was a lot of water under the bridge. A lot of good things had happened to Jacob and a lot of bad things had happened to Jacob. He had had a lot of victories and he had had a lot of heartache. But that didn't stop God from desiring to bless him. And God reaffirmed the covenant that he had made with Jacob at Bethel. And God said, I'm going to give you this land. Amen. This is the land that I promised to your fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac. I'm going to give this land to you and to your seed. And you're going to eat in the land. You're going to enjoy, amen, vineyards you didn't plant. You're going to enjoy wells that you didn't dig. You're going to live in houses that you didn't build, because my blessing is upon you. And God said, I'm going to bless you, Jacob, if you walk in my words. And Jacob, amen, amen, committed his heart to the Lord at Bethel. And the Bible says, it's very interesting how that the reading of the scripture, the Bible says, and the presence of God went up from Jacob in the place where God talked with him. And there Jacob set up another stone, and he dedicated it unto the Lord. And he offered unto the Lord a drink offering, and he anointed the stone with a cruse of oil. And he once again confirmed that this is the house of God. Many years passed, and I'm going to bring this to a conclusion. The musicians would come. Many years passed by. Rachel died and was buried at Bethlehem. Joseph was sold into slavery, although he was not aware of it at the time. As far as he knew, his beloved son was dead, the son that he had made a coat of many colors. He had given up all hope of ever seeing his face again. And then there came a famine upon the land. And we know the story, how that the sons of Jacob went down into Egypt, amen, to buy bread. Amen. Sometimes God is even in the famine. Sometimes the hand of God, amen, even is in the tough times that we go through. The word came back one day. Words that he never thought that he would ever hear again. And they said, Papa, Joseph is alive. He said, don't bring down my gray hairs upon me. Don't bring me over much sorrow. Don't lift my spirits only to disappoint me. Some of you have been disappointed so many times that you cannot dare to believe God to answer your prayers. It's been such a long time. Many years had passed, and it appeared that all hope was gone. But they said, no, Father, not only is he alive, but he's a great ruler over the land of Egypt. And he said, come on down. He said, because there's plenty of corn in the land of Egypt. You know, some of us would be, we'd be rushing off. We would be going off half-caught. But Jacob wanted to hear from God. Oh, hallelujah. He went from being a heel grabber to a God grabber. Right. And then God grabbed a hold of him.
All right.
Yes. I said, God got a hold of him. And the Bible tells us that when he was 130 years old,
all right,
and it looked like, amen, his life was over. There wasn't anything left to hope for. There wasn't anything left to dream for. Amen. When he was 130 years of age, God appeared a seventh time to a scoundrel. I want you to know that God will visit those who seek Him. God will make Himself, amen, present to those that reach out to Him. If you'll seek after God, you can find God. The Bible says that God appeared to Jacob at a place called Beersheba. God spoke to Jacob in the visions of the night. And this is what God said. This is found in Genesis chapter 46, verses 3 and 4. Remember what his name was? It was Israel. But God said, Jacob! Jacob! You know what Jacob said? He said, here am I. I know, God, that you made me a prince. I know, God, that you blessed me with flocks and herds. Amen. You multiplied my seed. Hallelujah. You blessed me more than I could ever have dreamed. But I never will forget, amen, who I am, because I'm still Jacob. Amen. Except for the grace of God, I'm nothing but a lowly scoundrel. Except for the grace of God, I'm a wretched man. But God, you came into my life. Here I am, Lord. God reassured Jacob of his presence. And he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. And I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hands on your eyes. Why? Because I'm the God, amen, that makes miracles happen. I'm the God that makes dreams come true. I'm a God that can change a scoundrel into a prince. I'm a God that can deliver an alcoholic, amen, from bondage. I'm a God that can free a drug addict, amen, from an addiction, amen, that they cannot be released from. I'm a God, amen, that can change a life and make it whole. I'm a God that will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm a God I will go with you wherever you go. If you'll just step into my presence, Jacob. I wonder if somebody tonight wants to step into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Is there somebody tonight, amen, that you want to step into the presence of God? Amen, that God is in this place. Jacob left home a single man. But you know how many of the descendants of Jacob went down to Egypt that came forth out of his loins? The Bible says 70. There were 70 of the descendants of Jacob that went down into Egypt, counting, amen, the sons of Joseph. Amen. The one became 70 because the blessings of God was upon him.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He was a blessed man. And he lived another 17 years after he went down into Egypt. He lived another 17 years. Amen. Amen. After that, he thought that it was all over. God gave him years of blessing. And he got to see, not only did he get to see Joseph, but he got to see Joseph's children. And he got to see Joseph's grandchildren. Amen. Why? Because of the mercy and the blessings of Almighty God. And this may be the best part of all. When he died, he said, I don't want you to bury me in Egypt.
No, sir.
But I want you to take me home. You see, God got a hold of Jacob. He didn't belong to the world. He didn't belong to Egypt. He said, I want you to take me back to the home of my fathers. I want you to bury me beside Abraham in the cave of Machpelah in the city of Beersheba. That's where the Bible says Abraham was buried and Sarah was buried and Isaac was buried and Rebekah was buried. And you know who else that Jacob buried there in that place? He said, I want you to bury me beside Leah. The one that was unloved. The one that he had not chosen. Where he buried Rachel at Bethlehem.
Yes.
But he said, I want you to bury me beside Leah. She was unloved. If you're feeling today that you're unworthy of the love of God, you feel like that you are an outcast, that you're second rate, I want you to know that you can have something special if you'll just be faithful. That Jacob grew to love Leah. Though he did not love her at the first, their love grew through the years. And he said, when you bury me, I want you to bury me beside Leah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Boy, he was a man that had a walk with God. He knew what it was like to be an outcast. He knew what it was like to be a scoundrel. He knew what it was like to have your enemies talking about you. He knew what it was like to go through heartache and trouble. But he was also a man that had an encounter with God. Not one time, not two times, not three times, but God met with Jacob seven times. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I am not content, amen, with a one-time encounter with the Holy Ghost. I'm not content with a one-time infilling of the Holy Ghost. But oh God, let me visit your presence. Let me step into your presence today. Let me experience the power of your glory. Let me see you in all of your splendor. Lord, I desire you in my heart. Hallelujah. Would you stand tonight? The musicians play. We want to open these altars tonight to those who want to come and you want to step into the presence of God. You want to experience the Holy Ghost. You want to experience the love and the compassion of a holy God. Amen. I want you to know that God is in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Jacob said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. You may not recognize, amen, that he's here, but he's here tonight. You can enter into his presence tonight because he's a righteous God. Won't you reach out to God right now? Reach out to the Lord. Let's lift our hands. Hallelujah. You can receive the Holy Ghost, amen, where you're standing. You can receive the Holy Ghost sitting down on a pew. You can receive the Holy Ghost, amen, running down those aisles to an altar. crying out to God. You can receive the Holy Ghost in any way that you can possibly imagine. But you've got a hunger after God. You've got a desire at the Lord. You've got to seek after Him with everything that's within you. He's here tonight. Hallelujah. Won't you come? Won't you make your way? Won't you kneel in His presence? Hallelujah. He's here tonight.